You're just in time for the best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, and via the mailbox 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, a brand new edition of the Christian Research Institute's flagship magazine, the Christian Research Journal, hot off the press, available. You can find it on the web at equip.org. You can subscribe there. You can also subscribe at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The cover story is based on an article by Jay Richards. In fact, it is an article by Jay Richards titled, Why Marxism and Socialism Always Fail. And Jay points out that in 2017, we celebrated the 100th anniversary of the Russian Revolution, of course, led by Vladimir Lenin, an angry intellectual. And that revolution took the lives of multiplied millions of people. So many Christian leaders killed as a direct result of that revolution. Well, a year ago, 2018, there were celebrations worldwide for the 200th birthday of Karl Marx. I want to say 2000 because it is so antiquated, but it's only 200 years ago. Karl Marx was communicating that we were going to create the ideal man in an ideal society. And he is still lauded by American titans today. I think of Michael Moore, the capitalist who has made over $50 million. He tweeted, Happy 200th birthday, Karl Marx. You believed that the greed of the rich would bring us all down. You knew that the super wealthy were out to grab whatever they could. And by the way, let me say parenthetically that I have known some of the world's super wealthy, people with large foundations, many of whom dedicated to give away their wealth, to use their wealth, to take care of the downtrodden and the needy, to fund Christian ministries and much, much more. Michael Moore simply doesn't know what he's talking about. It is an absolute disgrace to see what he is lauding as virtuous, for it is not. And unfortunately, he's impacting the hearts and minds of many who are quite simply duped by his rhetoric. Well, this year, we should know just how awful it is to idolize Marx. And that's why we have this cover story in the Christian Research Journal. Marx, of course, was a materialist. His paradigm forced him to apprehend history as a long string of struggles between the bourgeoisie and the proletariat, with justice determined by the state owning all industry, and even that ultimately morphing into the brotherhood of man living in perfect peace and harmony. You know, it's sort of akin to what Mao said, we're going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Of course, the reality is socialism only works in heaven where you don't need it, in hell where Satan and his minions have already instituted it. The truth of the matter is socialism will never work because socialism has to work with depraved human beings. With socialists like Bernie Sanders and a host of socialist contenders, the 2020 election cycle will no doubt see Marx's failures recast as nostalgic expectations for future success. It's going to work here. It's never worked anywhere else, but it's going to work in America. It is just numbing to hear Bernie Sanders' ignorance on this subject. At least one out of three young voters imagines socialism as a panacea, which includes cradle-to-grave health care and job security and, of course, thrown in to boot a quarter of every year on well-paid vacation. The truth is, socialism means the abolition of private property, the means of production owned by the state. And when have you ever seen the state be effective with its programs? In essence, modern proponents of socialism are not only recasting it in unrealistic and idyllic terms, but they're ignorant of history and they remain blithely unaware of the havoc that socialism has wreaked and is wreaking around the world. And then again, this is the reason that we produced this article by Jay Richards in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. There are many great articles, but if you haven't subscribed, this would be a great time to do that. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. I thought I'd make the quote of the day, the definition of socialism given by Merriam-Webster, who said socialism is a way of organizing a society in which major industries are owned and controlled by the government rather than by individual people and companies. It is a system in which there are no secure property rights. Well, with that, let's go to the phone lines. Chad in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, listening on KARI. Hi, Chad.
Hi, Hank. Thanks again for your ministry and all you're doing out there. I've got a question. It says in the book of, I guess I'll start with the New Testament first, but it says in Matthew 16, you know, about regarding binding and loosing,
mm-hmm.
where Jesus is talking to Peter, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, loose on earth is loosed in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the book of Job, in chapter 38, you know, the Lord in talking to Job, he asks him in one of his questions, he says, "Canst thou bind the sweet influence of Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season? Or canst thou guide Arcturus in with his sons?" And I was just wondering, like, because Job didn't have access, you know, like we don't have access to Matthew in the book of Job, but, you know, in the sort of the complete, you know, Bible we do, and it just raised a question in my mind, you know, can we bind, you know, these sweet influences of Pleiades and loose the bands, you know, in Christ, you know, through faith in God's word? And if so, you know, I'm just curious to get your answer.
Yeah. Well, a couple of things I would say about that. The first thing is that all of Scripture is inspired by God. And so the God who inspired Matthew is also the God who inspired the book of Job. Secondly, the point of Job is that God is supreme and sovereign over the affairs of humanity. And so there are all kinds of examples given when God breaks his silence and he thunders out of the storm. And he talks about how the heavens are vast and who could possibly create them but the one who inspired the writing of the book of Job. Who could create a drop of dew? Who creates the water pots? I mean, there's all kinds of metaphorical language that is used in the book of Job, but it is to show that God is supreme and sovereign over the affairs of the world. Now, with respect to binding and loosing, yes, humans are not authorized anywhere in Scripture to bind or loose Satan. Even the Archangel Michael did not tackle Satan on his own. Despite having wisdom and power, he called on God to rebuke Satan. Christians should never suppose that they're smart enough to engage Satan on their own. Only the God who created the heavens and the earth is the one who can take an angel whose malice has been sharpened over the years, who knows us intimately and knows exactly what our foibles are. We're coming to a station break. We'll be right back in a moment with answers to your questions.
The resurrection of Jesus is constantly under attack. If Christ has not risen, our faith is futile, and a culture critical of our faith well understands that. The physical resurrection of Christ is the incontestable cornerstone of Christianity, making a persuasive, reasoned defense of that event's historicity the essential of all apologetic essentials. Resurrection by Hank Hanegraaff clearly communicates the evidence and implications of the resurrection, and it does so using a memorable method to equip Christians to defend the very fabric of our faith. To receive your copy of Resurrection, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. In addition to Resurrection, Hank will include an excerpt of his forthcoming book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. This then is the climax of divine revelation, God with us. The infinite has progressively revealed himself in accordance with our finitude. Thus, prior to Emmanuel, general and special revelation revealed his glory. But in the incarnation, we have seen his glory. Thus writes Hank Hanegraaff in his book, Incarnation, the Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. In short, God's incarnation in human flesh is the apex of revelation, his last word. In taking on human flesh, God gives us more than the clearest image of who he is. He gives us himself. To receive your copy of Incarnation as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right to our callers, Marie in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, listening on KARI. Hi, Marie.
Hi. I was wondering, does the Orthodox Church practice intercession of prayers through the saints in the same way that the Catholic Church does? And if it does, how is it biblically supported?
Yeah, I don't think either the Orthodox or the Roman Catholics pray to saints. They call upon the prayers of departed saints who are with Christ for intercession. And that's all on account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the veil between this world and the world to come is vapor thin, meaning that we are united with the great cloud of witnesses that urge us on. The great cloud of witnesses that we read about in Hebrews chapter 12 and of course, depicted in great detail in Hebrews chapter 11. So just as I would ask you to pray for me, since I have stage 4 mantle cell lymphoma, I would ask those who have gone on before to intercede before the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for me. So again, it's not praying to the saints, but it's praying that the saints are praying for us, quite frankly, and why not? Again, many, many Christians pray for me, and I don't think those Christians have to be relegated to this time-space continuum.
Huh. So is it unbiblical to, I guess, speak to people who've died in general?
Well, people who have died continue to exist. They don't have awareness. In other words, they don't have extension in space, but they do have awareness. They have awareness of one another. They have awareness in the presence of the Lord. We see this when we look at the parable that Jesus spoke about with respect to the rich man and Lazarus. Both had awareness. In fact, the rich man was aware of his brothers, and he wanted to make sure that those brothers didn't come to the same destruction that he himself was facing. And so he wanted, of course, to send the beggar back to the earth so that he could warn his brothers that they would not come to a place like this. So Lazarus the beggar, of course, was not sent, and the reason was they have Moses and the prophets. If they don't believe that, they won't believe even if someone rises from the dead. So we have a great example there of people being aware of what's going on in the presence of the Lord, and certainly we can make a logical deduction that they would know what's going on the earth as well. I don't see anything really valuable in Scripture to counter that. I used to have arguments to counter that, but quite frankly, as I've looked at it, the arguments were quite paper thin.
Okay, that's good food for thought. Thank you very much.
You got it. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Aaron in Seattle, Washington, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I'd really like for you to talk to the biblical view of work. I have a couple of brothers who really are day-to-day financially, paycheck to paycheck, and they seem to really lean towards the scripture that says, don't worry about tomorrow, God will provide, he feeds the sparrow, so on and so forth. And I'm trying to reconcile, those pieces of scripture with, say, Proverbs 16:9, a man determines his path, but the Lord determines his steps, and, you know, work as if you're working for God and not man. And so I'm really wondering a good message to talk to my brothers about, as, you know, again, they're really choosing to be day-to-day, paycheck to paycheck, and really, you know, not providing for their families in the capacity that they could.
Yeah, and the Proverbs also say that, don't they? A good man provides for his children and his children's children. So I don't think that in this world that we ever can get away from being productive. We are called to use our time and our talents and our treasure for His glory and for the extension of His kingdom. And if we don't, Jesus' parable, of course, that we're all familiar with, that lets us know just how sinful it is to take our talent and bury it in the ground, as opposed to taking our talents and multiplying them for the sake of the kingdom and for the sake of people who are in need. So we have very, very clear instruction in scriptures that we're not supposed to just live for the day. We are to provide as Christians for the needs of the world. How can you give to those who are in need if you yourself are in need? A rich man can help a poor man, but a poor man can't help another poor man. So we ought to work using our talents. And then whether we're rich or poor, is as you pointed out in the Proverbs, I mean, it's ultimately that the Lord, we will choose our path, but He's directing our steps. So whatever we have, we will have sufficient for what God has called us to do. I often think of what, I think it was Charles Haddon Spurgeon who said, the old covenant was a covenant of prosperity. The new covenant is a covenant of adversity whereby we're being weaned from the present world and made meet for the world to come. So yes, the whole idea is we want not to hold on to riches tightly. We want to hold them with an open hand so that God can take out and put in as He sees fit. And so those riches can be used for the good of this world. And we will be accountable for what we did with what we had in that sense. And, you know, when I think about that, it's always alarming to me. It always gives me a gut check. What am I doing to help those that are in need? And is what I'm now doing sufficient? Because the Lord has strong words for those who hoard up wealth for themselves. You know, the rich man who says, you know, I'm going to build some bigger barns to store all my produce and all my wealth and so forth. And the Lord says, what a fool, this day your soul will be required of you. And then who will receive what you had? So, again, I think the whole idea of just living for today is an idea that doesn't have any basis in Scripture. We have to use our talents, and you know, when we go, hopefully what we have left will be used in turn, the legacy of our children, the legacy of our resources for His glory and for the extension of His kingdom.
That's very helpful. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Alberto in Savannah, Georgia. Hi.
Yes, good evening, Mr. Hanegraaff. My question is, the Bible says that Christ died for our past and present future sins. Now, if I murder somebody and Christ happened to come right that every moment, even though I had time to repent from that sin, but Christ would have died for my past and future sin, would I still go to heaven? But the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 18 through 22, is that those who practice things should not have the kingdom of God. But the Bible says also, another verse says that he who commits a murder should not have the kingdom of God. So is it practicing it or committing a one-time murder would both consider me not to enter God's kingdom, even though Christ died for our past and present future sins?
Well, the beauty is that all the sins that we commit in this life can be forgiven. It is something that is beyond all comprehension, but it is true. If we genuinely confess our sins, He is faithful and just. He will forgive our sins, and He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say we have no sin, well, then we have a disposition that displeases the Lord, and that disposition means that we will not be forgiven, either in this life or in the life to come. And God very perfectly sees our heart. We look at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. So He knows whether someone is genuinely repentant of their sins. And all of us have thought in sinful ways. We sin in thought, word, and deed, and therefore we confess our sins. Those that are voluntary, involuntary, word, deed, known, unknown, we confess our sins. And the great thing is we ought to do that every single day. And I can tell you without contradiction that I do that multiple times every day. I do it when I wake up. I do it when I go to bed at night. If I take a nap, I do it. And I do it all under the rubric of the Lord's Prayer, which teaches us to do that very thing. So confession is critical, and if we truly confess, God will forgive us. Now, there are consequences to sin, as we see with David, and those consequences follow inexorably like night follows day. So we can't sin with impunity as though there are no consequences. Of course, there are. I'm going to have to leave it at that, unfortunately. Sorry to all the people I didn't get to. I'll be here tomorrow, Lord willing, to answer more of your questions. Do remember, this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you, and I'm deeply grateful to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You can give them in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, "Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity." Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now.